I wanted to just talk a little bit about wars. As I started thinking about this more and more, of course, God changes the course of our thoughts as we continuously look at His Word. And as I was thinking about the veterans and the wars that many of them have endured and are still enduring to this day, I got to thinking about how war has an awful lot in common with salvation. Fighting a war and having eternal life, salvation in Jesus Christ. Many of you young people know what it's like to fight a Nerf battle. We have them often at my house. Unfortunately, the older I get, the more I get hurt having Nerf gun battles with my son. Kind of gives you a little taste of what it's like to be in the heat of battle when the Nerf darts are flying all over the place. And, of course, who always gets hit in the eye? The guy who says to the son, "Don't do that, you're going to get hit in the eye." I'm the one that always gets hurt. That ends up being how it is. But at any rate, in war, there's usually a victor. That's why they fight wars, because somebody wants to be the winner. Somebody wants to be right. Somebody wants to be more powerful than someone else. In war, there's usually freedom, not always. But the result or the consequence of war many times results in freedom. That's the purpose in a lot of cases why people go to war. The Revolutionary War, we can think, the Civil War in the United States and many wars throughout history were fought for the cause of freedom. In war, there are battles, many battles that make up the overall war, many little skirmishes and battles. In war, there are warriors. In war, there are armies made up of warriors. In war, there's bloodshed. And in war, of course, there's death. The same rings true for salvation. In salvation, the idea is victory. And we know salvation in Jesus Christ brings us victory over sin and death. In salvation, we know freedom, and that we're no longer tied to the law, that we're free from the law. We're freed by grace. In salvation, there are little battles that are fought along the way when the enemy tempts us to reject Jesus Christ and to reject God's plan of salvation. We fight those battles day in and day out, those little skirmishes with the enemy, shooting those arrows, flaming arrows at us. In salvation, there are warriors. There have been, there are now, and there will be until the final battle. The warriors today are you and I. They're fighting the battles. In salvation, there are armies that are gathered together, the armies of Jesus Christ that are His people, His chosen, His that He's died for, that continue to fight for the cause of freedom, for victory. In salvation, there's bloodshed, because we know that Jesus died for our sins and shed His own blood that we might have victory and freedom. In salvation, there's death, speaking of the death on the cross of Jesus. And the process of the battles leads to a better end, freedom and peace. It's a process that we go through little by little by little to make the overall war and to bring victory, freedom, and peace. And that process has a beginning and it has an end. Today we read about the end and the total victory for a great hero and a king. We read about the final battle in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And Revelation, we know, is John's vision that he had when he was exiled to the island of Patmos. And while he was there, he had a vision of the Lord, and he had these visions of heaven, and he had these futuristic visions, and he wrote them down in symbolic terms, in terms that the Jewish person of that day would understand a little more maybe than we do today. And of course, time after time, philosophers, theologians have tried to open this all up and unfold it so that we understand it perfectly and we know how it's going to happen. And sadly, when it all happens, none of us will realize it, because although we can glean a lot of information from it, we cannot technically know a lot of the things in Revelation. But we read today about the final battle. But I want to talk first of all about the process today. And next Sunday, come back to this final battle. I want to go back to where the battle lines were drawn. It was a dark day, literally, approximately 2,000 years ago. It was a day in Palestine, on a hilltop outside a city in Palestine. It was a battle that lasted 9 hours when it came to its head. It had began hours earlier when the enemies took our great hero captive. And as they took him captive the day before, and he was illegally tried, wrongfully tried, and convicted, the battle began to come to a head. And as the tension grew that next morning, as the sun started to rise, and the battle lines were drawn, and the battlefield lay out before the people for all the world to see as they traveled by on that road, on that hilltop, we saw the greatest hero of all time, who had already made the decision to give up his life for his armies, because he knew that there was a greater end in sight. And he knew that this was just part of the process, that this was not the final end of the war. He knew this was part of winning the complete war. All four Gospels tell us about the battle. It tells us how this great hero was laid out, how there was bloodshed, and how there was death, and how for 3 hours on that dreadful day, the sun was literally darkened, until finally he gave up his spirit to Almighty God. And that greatest hero that I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. He knew that it was best. In fact, he told his disciples that I must go, because if I go, the Father will send the advocate, another advocate, someone, a person, he will be in you. Jesus said to them, I've been with you this time, but this advocate will be in you. You're not going to be fighting alone. You're going to be fighting with a greater source of power and strength to fight those little skirmishes along the way, to fight those little battles along the way. And he says, I'll be with you till the end of the age. Because he knew, he looked down through the corridor of time, and he saw the final battle. He knew he'd be coming back. But he knew for a time that you and I were going to have to fight these little battles. And he was determined that we were not going to be alone. So he died on a Roman cross, shedding his blood for the whole world, that day by day we might be stronger in winning those little battles as the enemy continues to wage war. It's a process that we go through, fighting those battles. The battle lines were drawn that day. He had already made the decision to do what he needed to do, and he did it freely. He did it graciously. And we look at Revelation 19 and we see that someone is coming back. We see that John sees in his vision that he saw heaven standing open, and there was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. And he had names written on him. In other words, we know who this was. Or who this will be, excuse me. We know who this will be. He saw the white horse, which symbolized victory. And the rider is faithful and true, trustworthy and true. And he says, with justice he judges and makes war. In other words, he's not going to make war unjustly. When this rider comes back, this person comes back, he's not coming back with a white robe and a nice beard and his staff
the sword. He's coming back with the truth. He's coming back with justice. And he's coming back to tread the winepress and to squeeze out the unrighteousness. Not then to make us righteous, but to destroy the enemies. He's coming back as a warrior. And it will not be a pretty day.
As John tells us in Revelation, it describes him, his eyes are blazing like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, capital letters. Let's see. In Bible study, we're told to correlate with the rest of the Bible. Where is this writer's name found? His name is the Word of God. Isn't that how John described him in the Gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And his name was Jesus. And to those of his own he came, but they rejected him. But yet to those who received him, God gave the right to become children of God. And that him, that Jesus, that Word of God, John tells us, is the one that he saw coming on the white horse in victory. In other words, the victory was already won. It was already his. It's just that the scene had to be played out. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies of heaven were the righteous saints that had died before in Jesus Christ. The Revelation tells us other places that we're going to be given a new name. We're going to be clothed in righteousness with a new robe, a white robe. And that out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he'll rule them with an iron scepter as he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a great, but what a terrible day it's going to be. It's going to be a great day for his armies, because it tells us as we read on, and I don't want to spoil next week, it tells us about the victory that awaits all who follow him. About the victory that awaits for Jesus and his armies. So we see where the battle lines were drawn. And one battle was fought on Calvary when Jesus died. And we see future when Jesus will come back again to win the final battle and the final victory and the complete war. But until then, you and I, day by day, fight the battles. Day by day, we're in between the times, fighting on for the cause of Jesus Christ. And as we fight on, we must remember that that victory is already won. It's not something that we hope to win. That's why Paul said, as they sung, Paul said that my eyes are fixed on my call, my heavenly call in Christ Jesus. That's what kept Paul going. He was fixed on the heavenly glory, the victory that awaited him. And we must be too, every single day. Our victory is not here. It's there. And it's coming when Christ comes back in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. What a great day it's going to be for his armies. What a dark day it's going to be for his enemies. It's plain and simple. And what a great day it is to remember this and be reminded of this as we remember All Saints Sunday and all those who have gone before us in Jesus Christ. As we honor our veterans, we remember that we have the greatest veteran, our great hero, Jesus Christ, who's already been in the war, fighting with us day by day. And we also sit at his heavenly banquet and remember our great hero's blood that was shed for us. I hope that gives you strength for the fight that we fight every day. It sure does me, knowing that I'm going to be tired when I get there. But oh boy, what a party we're going to have when we sit and feast at His heavenly banquet. I invite you to turn with me now in your hymnal to page 8 as we come to the Lord's table this morning. Before we begin this, let's join together professing our faith in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He arose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then she shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Christ our Lord, and our hero invites to his table all who love him and earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the good news. This is the gospel that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And it's also our proof that God loves us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen.